So who refuses God when he asks you to do something? Who, when he calls upon you, when you said, I will do it, then you got to do it. I need your prayers badly. Okay?
Because I ain't up to it. You know it.
Yeah. Y'all know. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know what's coming out of this morning. Ain't good. The Word of God is good. Yes. Amen. It is. Got a confession to make. Did not read my Sunday school lesson this week. Consequently, when I come in and sit down in the pews, I find that our Sunday school lesson is word for word for what I had to listen.
So you did read your Sunday school.
I was thinking, you know, that tomorrow evening when I have to bring the message over at Long Run, that I wanted to stay away from Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, because I knew that it would be preached this morning. I had no idea. I should have known better. So I failed, you see.
No, you didn't.
I did. I'm not worthy to be in the position that you all have put me in, and I know that. No. I don't do enough, don't study enough, don't work enough to be worthy of the position of pastor of this church. I give it my best, and that's all I can do. But to fail to preach a Sunday school lesson and to have notes on that, that's unforgivable to me. It is. It's just not being prepared. You know, it's just like last night when, and it's not only us, it's not only me, it's every place I go, the devil is fighting the church so, it's just rampant. Over there last night, the singers, they couldn't get it together. They couldn't find the tape to sing from. And it would just seem like it was just, you know, just all mixed up. The elders having the same problem here at the piano.
Sure.
It just seemed like the devil is just trying his best to defeat us. And it's only because of the season that we're in. When our minds are all focused on that day when they crucified our Savior. That's what it's all about. Satan knows his time is short. He knows it's just about the end for him. And he's given it all he's got to defeat his people. God's chosen people, which are us. He's not going to win, and we know it. But my, he is making a fight of it. But he's got his day coming. And he will be put down, cast into the lake of fire for to burn forever and ever and ever. And none of you wants to be with him.
Amen.
Well, since this one, Oregon, let's get a new one. Let's just pick her right off the cuff and see what happens, huh? Pray much, and God's going to use us this morning. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of St. John. The 13th chapter. John 13. When you find that one, then you'll start reading at the 26th verse.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to read you two verses, the 26th and 27th. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Wow. Now is my soul troubled, And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Lord, as we come to you again this morning, please, Lord, use your servant as you would see fit. Bring forth, O Lord, that word you would have, not us. Lord, that we might just draw so close to thee. Help us, O Lord, in your own kind way. We ask you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. The words that I've just read to you come shortly after Christ's entry into Jerusalem. That story in itself is miraculous. As Christ was preparing for a time that I'm sure that was terrifying to him. Although he had the full power of God, yet he was human just like you and I. He felt pain. He felt sorrow. He felt rejection. He felt all these things that you and I feel. And as he was coming into Jerusalem, as was studied this morning, he looked around and about, and he seen in Jerusalem things that weren't right. He looked around and he saw in these the synagogues, the religious organizations. He saw there where people had really just gone haywire and had just turned the worship of God into anything and everything. He looked on that situation and it burdened him. He could have right then, if he wanted to, probably he could have just said the word and destruction would have fell upon all of the religious leaders, the priests and all this that was involved in all these crazy things. He could have, but he didn't. He went back. And he went to the garden and he prayed. He prayed for guidance, for God to show him exactly what to do. Oh, yes. We sometimes get into the same situation. We get into a point that we can see things going haywire. We see things going wrong, and I just like to take them and... If we acted, Tom, you and I are kind of a lot alike. We a little bit fired up. We go off the wrong end every once in a while too quick.
Yeah,
just a little bit. Yeah. Yes. You do?
No.
Yes. Anybody else? Yes. We all do. We like to retaliate. We like to just boo. Just let's take him to shake him good, you know. And you hear about it every day. How someone didn't just do that. But if we would just do like Christ did. Look on a situation and not approve of it, but say, woo-wee, things are terrible. Then go off someplace and fall upon our face and pray out to the Almighty God and say, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? How do I handle this situation? What is it? I know you don't want me to offend. You don't want me to crush anybody. You all... I just don't know how to do it, Lord. I just don't know what to do. That's what Christ did. He went back to the Father and he talked to him, but the next time he came in, he done a little action. Because he had talked to the Father. He went in. And he upset the tables and threw out the money changers and those that sold doves and all this, the sacrifices. He threw them out of the temple. He got rid of them because the Almighty God, the Father, told him that the temple needs a cleansing. Yes, the temple needs a cleansing. Well, today, if Christ were to come down in person, which I imagine he has, we probably didn't recognize him, but he has probably came upon the scene in a human form, visited churches all around over this country, our church as well, and found in there what was going on. And let me tell you, a lot of the places that Christ would have visited, as he did there in Jerusalem, he could look on the situation and he might say, what in the world has happened to my house? What has happened to the churches of the United States? What has happened? Oh, they were having a big time. They were really enjoying it. Their social activities were fine. They had all kinds of stuff in there. They had games, they had movies, they had dances, they were drinking, they were having a big time. They were really enjoying themselves, yes. Yeah, they could look on that. He probably looked on that situation and he probably felt like going in there and just crushing the whole bunch of them and throwing them out the window. Cleaning the house. He probably felt like it, but he didn't. He didn't do that. He went back to the Father and he prayed. Yes, he prayed for this church. He prayed for all these churches around. Folks, they're bringing in everything that you can possibly imagine into the churches today. Well, I praise God that it is not in this church. The only thing we have going on in this church that's questionable, and I don't think that's even questionable, is our dinners in the basement. To me, that's social activities. Meeting around the table as we do to discuss the things of God. Good. And to me, that is wonderful. In the sanctuary, in this part of the church that is dedicated completely, I said completely, to the works of God. You'll never see it as long as I'm here. You'll never see a motorcycle come through the door. No, you won't. You'll never see dancing in the house of God. You'll never see drinking, carousing of any kind in this building as long as I am your pastor. Yes, you can throw me out and do anything you please. Yes, you can. But remember, God has visited, and I believe with all my heart that he has looked upon this little church here on Main Street, Fowler Avenue, and said, this is my house. And I am proud of these people because they're loyal. They're standing on solid ground. Yes, we as a church put Jesus Christ first. Yes, we have fun. Yes, we do. We tease each other and I'm the biggest one of the whole bunch. Aren't I? Yeah, she gonna kill me. Yeah, we have fun. We enjoy each other's company. But when serious times come such as we just have, we can call on God and feel with confidence that he has delivered, that he's there. Yes, I have no doubts whatsoever that John is in the hands of an almighty God right now. The outcome of it, that's not for me to decide. Because I gave him to Jesus. I gave him to God. Yes. Wow. It's good to be able to clasp hands with fellow Christians and know that there's not one in that circle in doubt. There's not one. There is no doubt. And where there is no doubt, man, there's perfect healing. Yes, it happens. Christ, in the scriptures that I just read to you, he looked on that situation. He knew what was coming. And he said, not my words, I'd have to read it again. Can this pass from me? This is tough. Is there any way? Is there any way I can get out of this? Well, folks, sometimes he calls us to do jobs that's not real easy. And the first thing we can say is, any way I can get out of this? Yeah. That's what we say. Is there any way I can get out of this? Let somebody else do it. They're better at it than I am. If God wanted somebody else to do it, he would have called somebody else. He knows you. He knows every one of us. He knows what we can do. He knows what we can't do. And he's not going to call you to do something that you can't do. Simple as that. When? Wow. When George asked me last night if I would bring the message tomorrow night over there, George, I can't do that. I'm not a good preacher. He said, you can do it. Well, you know, I don't have the confidence that I might should have. I don't have any confidence in me at all. But I have all the confidence in the world in my Jesus. Amen. I have all the confidence in the world knowing that if I'll just stand up, boy, don't be backward, he'll fit me. Yes. If anything will take the wind out of your sails, when you've got a sermon all ready to go, lined up, and you find out it's gone, it's already been done, what do you do, Nelda? What do you do? You say, Lord, we got to have another. Yes. Quit your shaking your head at me. God's good. He said, if you'll stand up, I'll fill you. Remember one time when we were singing? Yeah, you asked for it. We were singing someplace out there in the country, in the country church. Hot, mate. Oh, it was hot. And they had all the windows wide open and the doors open and all this. And the Millers and the Bugs was flying around, the lights and all that, you know. We was up there on the front of singing away, and all of a sudden, one of them Millers or Bugs of some kind, right in her mouth.
Oh my goodness.
And of all the puking and the hollering and the squawking you ever heard, it was there. And what happened? I said, well, open your mouth, you'll feel it. God's good to us. Yes, he'll take care of us in spite of us. Yes, he will. We've got lots and lots to be thankful for. Christ, when he seen himself going through what he had to go through, the thing that he had to do that God had called him to do, he said, is there any way I can get out of this? But this is why he was sent here to the earth. This was the thing that he was sent to do, was to suffer, bleed, die. We can't even begin to imagine the agony that went through him when they was whipping him with that whipping, that scourge, with those little things on the end of that whip that was just ripping the hide right off of him, that was just cutting into his flesh.
how that must have hurt. And how much he wanted to say, Lord, it's enough. Stop him. But no. He allowed it to go on. Yeah. He allowed it to go on. And when they said, yes, here's your king. Here's your king. Let's crown him. Let's crown him king. So they took and they made him a little circle with those old thorny spikes, you see. And as he was down there, probably weak from all that they had done to him, that wasn't enough. They took the crown and they reached down and they shoved it down on his head. Begin imagining the pain that was there. Enough to say, Lord, stop him. He went right ahead. All the way. He picked up, they placed the cross on his back. Started him up that hill to Golgotha. He could barely move. Carrying the load of the world on his back. No, the physical part of it was completely devastating. But the spiritual part was much more. The load, the sins of the whole world was on his back. And there on the cross, when he hung there, with all the shame, with all the sins of the whole world, God the Father couldn't look on it. He couldn't look on it. He had to look upon his Son and turn his back, because the sin. But through his blood, he took it off. And we get a little booger on the finger. We can't stand. We cry out. Sometimes we say things that are not pleasing to God for just a very minor little thing. Drop a bowl in your kitchen. It splashes, goes all over the house. And what do you say? Wah, 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 wah. Right. Yeah, we get all excited. When things don't go exactly like they should, when my lawnmower sits on its top, I look at that thing and I say things that you don't want to hear. Yes. The devil would love to defeat us, but he can't. Because immediately, when we fly off the handle and say things that we don't mean to, it comes on us just that quick. Ha ha, got you, didn't I, old Satan? And we have to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. And he does just that. Yes. Christ said, if it's possible, take it away from me. But nevertheless, thy will be done. He went all the way for you and I. Praise the Lord. What are we willing to do for him? What are we willing to do? Are we willing to just sit on our easy chair, fill a pew each Sunday? Are we willing to just go home day to day? Or are we willing to hit the road for Jesus? Are we willing to stand up and to proclaim his holy name and see to it that some of those that are very near to us are not lost? Folks, the time is short. As I said a while ago, he has visited the church. He has visited each and every one of us individually. He has visited around and he has gone back to the Father to pray. To find out exactly, Lord, what is your will for this people? We call it the rapture. We call it the end times. You've seen it portrayed in many ways. Fact is, it's so near. And he's going to come back, just like he did to Jerusalem. He's going to upset them tables. Yes, he's going to throw out the money changers. All those that sold doves, all that corruption that we find out that's in church today, he's going to throw it out and purify his church and take it home to be with him forever. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for this? If he were to come today and call upon each and every one of us individually, are you ready? Can you truly say, Lord, here I am. I'm ready for you. Judge me just as I am. Or would we have to do a little bit of repentance for those things that we haven't put under the blood of Jesus? Lord, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for just allowing us to assemble in your name. And we pray, O God, that your sweet Holy Spirit has delivered here this morning in a way, O God, so powerful that old Satan had to flee. Lord, that he is no longer on our back, but he's behind us. We ask you, God, just to take each one of us, judge us, O Lord, and find us wanting. Give us the strength and the courage, O Lord, just to bow and to say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Make me what you want me to be. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.